started here. Faith and good works. I'm still on a God-given faith. Now, let me go back through this list of the language of faith. Now, that's not how faith talks. I don't mean that. I mean the language of faith, how the Scripture defines or describes faith. And this is not an exhaustive list. And all of these things overlap. Let's see if I can, before I go through this list again, I don't have them numbered per se, because there's not any definite order. And I say that for this reason. If I have faith, if you have faith, it has all of these characteristics, not one or two of these characteristics. This is what faith is. It's not what faith ought to be. It's what faith is. The question you and I have to answer is this the kind of faith I have?
Yeah.
Now, as I said last week, I often feel as though I preach in the negative. And the reason I often feel that way is probably because I do preach that way. And I probably preach that way because even in, and I often say our small group, but we actually have a large group compared to some. But even in our group, I've seen what feels to me to be so many people make public professions of a God-given faith, and then in one way or another, abandon it, turn from it, maybe seem to fall far short of it. Now, when I give this list, I'm not suggesting that my faith or your faith, even as the gift of God, I'm not suggesting that it will rise to the height to which we wish it would. Okay? When we read this list, you may think, but I don't know for sure about the faith I claim to have. I don't know if it's that or not, but if it's a God-given faith, it is that, whether you feel it or comprehend it or not. The problem with me preaching these things and me receiving it and you receiving it is I cannot tell you whether your faith is this for sure or not. I have trouble sometimes with my own self as to whether my own faith is this or not. And what I mean by that is I can't talk to you. I can't give you this list and say, now, does your faith fit that? Yes, my faith fits that. Oh, well, then you're okay. Because there are people, even in our group, that seem to have manifest this genuine faith for years, but then turn from it. Or at least what looks to be a turning from it. And only God knows that for sure. Only God knows that for sure. But, on the other hand, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, since you made such a profound profession of faith, I guess you're okay. I can't do that either.
Exactly.
I refuse to do that. Now, there are people who do that. Well, if you're one of God's, everything will be fine. You know, that's true.
Yeah, it is.
That's true.
Yes,
but what if you're talking to a reprobate?
Exactly.
It's still true. But they may take that you're saying, well, you're okay. As long as you're one of God's, everything's fine, no matter what you're doing, what you're living, what you're believing. You see, the whole point is, this foundation stands sure. The Lord knows them that are His.
Amen.
And it doesn't stop there.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't stop. We quote that, but it doesn't stop there, does it?
Yeah.
The rest of it says, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Amen.
Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
So that's the truth, not just part. We don't preach partial truth.
Exactly.
Because partial truth is what?
Yeah.
It's a lie. Right, it's what it is.
Exactly.
Partial truth is a lie. So here's the list again. This is the wondrous language of faith. Faith looks at the unseen. That's what faith does. It looks at the unseen. Faith longs for things hoped for. Another one, faith touches the intangible. That is, faith touches what can't be touched. Any other way other than by faith. Next, faith lays hold of God's words and his promises.
Yes, sir.
And as Joe ably pointed out, it is, this word is, the only source of faith and practice.
Yes, sir.
Next, faith submits to Christ as righteousness. All righteousness. Next, faith partakes of Christ. Another word here is faith actually consumes him. It would lay hold of what's hoped for, it actually consumes these things. Faith fellowships. There's another one. Faith fellowships in Christ. Another one is faith is that which overcomes the world. Let me stop and say concerning this. I used to hear when I was younger that if you have faith, then you can overcome the world.
Yeah.
And the problem was, I lived with that sound bite.
Yeah.
You hear that a lot nowadays.
Yeah.
Or that talking point. You hear that, don't you, a lot?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I lived with that that sound bite or that talking point most of my younger professing life, and was never able to, after I thought I had faith, to do what? Overcome the world.
Exactly.
I still found the world not only encroaching on me, but I found the world all too much where? In me. But remember what I said, and I remember what I just quoted. Faith is that which overcomes the world.
Amen.
If you have a God-given faith, you have already overcome the world.
Amen.
Because you've went to where the world cannot go.
Amen. That's it.
You found yourself. God has taken you to a place the world cannot go to. Next, this is to me a profound one. Faith is reckoned. Earl and I talked about this years ago. And it was something that it's probably been, I don't know, I'm just guessing, but 11, 12, 13 years ago. It was after we came here. And Earl and I were talking, and you know, I told Earl, we often talk about righteousness being reckoned or imputed. The word reckoned can mean imputed. Same thing. But the scripture puts it this way. Faith is reckoned. Faith is reckoned. Because most people actually think, faith, it's mine, I got it, it's me. No, faith is not me.
Exactly.
Me, that's the real Walter Pendleton, is in Adam.
Yeah, that's it.
Corrupt. Depraved.
Exactly.
Faith is a gift of God. It's even, as we looked, the fruit of God that invaded me.
Yes, sir.
So faith is reckoned. Next, faith walks. That is, faith has a walk. Mm-hmm. Next, faith frees from the schoolmaster. Next, faith stands. People always say, stand for the Lord. If you have faith, you are.
Yeah.
It's not you should. You are. And last but certainly not least, faith is substance and evidence. Most people, again, the same thing. They talk about here you have faith, then there'll be evidence that follows with it. There's some truth to that. But faith itself is the evidence.
Amen.
But I like what Tim James says. Faith hopes in the promises of God. And that hope must be realized, or God is not true. Because if God gives you the faith to hope in the fulfillment of the promise, then it depends upon God to fulfill the promise in order that faith may find its true end.
Yes, sir.
So, I told you I wanted to go back and start looking at each one of these things individually. But remember, they will overlap, because these are not just different characteristics of faith that we can break them down to where faith is this, this. Amen. Faith is all this.
Yeah.
Okay? Faith is not all this. Faith is all this.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, faith looks at the unseen. Now, the passage there where this comes from is 2 Corinthians. And if you're following along, you can turn to chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And for a little bit of the context here, let's start in verse 13. We, having the same spirit of what? Faith. So faith, what is spirit? Let me stop and go back. What is spirit? It's life.
Yes.
Right? It's life. Even in the physical realm, spirit is life.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And in particular, it is what we would often call animate. Animate? Is that right? Animate life. As different from life that's in a plant, a tree, or a weed. It has spirit. Even animals have what? Spirit, in that sense, as differentiated from the lowest order of the creation. So this lets me know this. We having the same spirit of faith. Faith's not what you do. It's a part of what you are.
Amen.
It's a part of your life. The life that you have of God in Christ. Not physical life, but spiritual life. That is, in other words, faith is real.
Amen.
Faith is real. Faith is not whistling in the dark.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know the old illustration people give of walking by a graveyard? Mm-hmm. So you start whistling. Now why you're supposed to do that, I don't know. I don't know if it scares the spirits away or I guess it's something to occupy your mind rather than thinking about the dead folks that's there. The problem is you don't have to worry about the dead folk. Mm-hmm. It's the living ones you got to worry about.
Exactly.
That's what you got to worry about. No faith. In other words, faith is real. Now, faith can be pretended.
Oh, yeah.
Because Paul talks about faith unfeigned.
Yeah.
That is genuine faith. And there are people who pretend faith.
Exactly.
I think there are some who pretend it and mean to pretend it. But there are others who pretend it but don't know they're pretending.
You're right.
They think they really have it, but they don't. And let me tell you, apart from free sovereign grace, that's me as well.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because God doesn't give pretend.
Amen.
God gives the real thing.
Amen.
So in other words, we having the same spirit of faith, that lets us know faith is a reality. Okay? It's a real thing. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I speak. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, there are a lot of people who speak, and they figure, well, since I said it, I got to believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You're right.
This is what the world does. They think, because I say it, then we need to believe it. No, we believe something. Why? Because God Almighty said it.
Amen.
See, he's the first speaker.
Yes, sir.
Then we believe by faith what he has said. Therefore, then what do? Then we speak. And there's a lot more I can say here, but this is because most people speak, Joe was talking about it. Most people speak out of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I feel the truth is. But it doesn't matter what I feel.
Exactly.
What matters is what God says.
Amen.
And if what God says puts down, mm-hmm. shines light on what I feel, and what I feel is contrary to the Word, then what I feel is wrong.
Amen.
No matter how strongly I feel it.
Exactly. That's it.
So, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Why does Paul say, I know this? Because he's cocky? Huh? No, because he knows who he met on that road to Damascus.
Amen.
He knows personally who brought him down.
Amen.
And brought him around.
Yes, sir.
And that's why I say, when I say I know, and I say it through the Spirit of God, it's because of that.
Yes.
Because God says so.
Amen.
And when God says so, he also does so.
Right. Amen.
He don't just say so, and then just he just says so. He says so, and he does so.
Amen.
And this book is a book full of promises.
Yes, sir.
Promises of God to his people. That would take us down. The faith lays hold of God's words and his promises. Because that's all we have.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God said, I will raise you up at the last day.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, I speak that.
Right. Exactly.
And because I believe that and speak that, therefore I know that.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of cockiness. It's a matter of depending upon God to fulfill his promises. What if you're deceived? Then it won't matter, will it?
Exactly.
It won't matter for me, would it?
No.
But if what I'm telling you is the truth, Joe, even if I am personally deceived,
yeah,
if what I'm telling you is coming from this book,
exactly,
you best believe what this book says.
Exactly.
Because of what the book says, not because you're persuaded Walter's one of God's or not. A lot of people run around saying, I know I'm this, I know I'm that. I say that too. And then there's other times I don't know quite as well as I thought I did. That's not the point. But he goes on, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That is basically, Paul's basically saying this, this thing is a circle and God is pleased to glorify himself with it. Do you think it won't happen? It will happen. Because God's pleased to glorify himself. Therefore, it's got to happen.
Amen.
For which cause we faint not. And why is it? Because we believe. You see, this? That's the preface of this whole thing. We believe, therefore we speak. Contrary to that, most people speak, and then they think people are just supposed to believe it. That's how I feel. That's my emotions. People think what they see is real.
Yeah.
What they can't see may or may not be. But according to scriptures, the very things that we can't see are the reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the very things we see will not exist one day.
Amen.
They'll all be done away with.
Amen.
Yep.
Look, for which cause we faint not. Why is it that you're continuing today? If you have a God-given faith, it's because God Almighty made you do that.
Right.
That's why. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, what? Day by day. Now, I'm not questioning that when I say this, but it's even hour by hour. And the Apostle Paul, he's simply using day by day, you know, hour by hour, minute by minute. It takes the work of God Almighty for us to continue even with a God-given faith.
Amen.
Even with a God. See, it's not, well, God gave me this faith, now I go out in the strength of it. No, it takes day by day grace
exactly
for this to continue.
Yes,
because if it don't, I will faint.
Exactly.
I will faint.
Oh, yeah.
Four, our light affliction. And isn't that amazing? This is a man who was beaten for the name of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that amazing? I know, and I am not belittling the troubles that you, any of you here, have went through. Because believe you me, I've had my own set of troubles.
Yeah.
Most of them I brought upon myself, in a manner of speaking. Because of my lack, because of my laziness, because of my sin, because of my rebellion. We reap what we sow.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not you'll reap what you sow unless you confess it. You know that's what religion teaches?
Oh, yeah.
They accuse us of teaching you can be saved, go out, sin all you want. Well, ask them. If you ask God to forgive you, does he have to?
Exactly.
And see what they say. You know what they'll tell you? Oh, yeah, God's got to.
Yeah.
No, Scripture says if we confess our sins. It doesn't say if they.
Exactly.
Talk about God's people. But here's the thing. What do? They believe you can live however you want. And what they're actually teaching, as long as you confess it right before the end, everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Huh? Isn't that what they're saying?
Yes, sir.
You can get saved and get lost, or be lost. Get saved and be. How would you get saved, but you be lost?
Yeah.
If you get saved, can't you be lost? But anyway, you get saved, you get lost. You get saved, you get lost. As long as you're saved right at the end, what? Everything's okay. No, the point is, if you get saved to start with, you got to be saved to the end or you won't be saved at all.
Amen.
And that's just the way it works. But yet the Apostle Paul puts it this way. For our light affliction. He calls it light affliction.
Yeah.
Which is but for a moment.
Amen.
Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Therefore, Paul gives this glory not as some ethereal thing, but something that has substance. What's a weight? Something with substance. Yeah. We often think of it as something that weighs us down, right?
Yeah.
But here's a weight that's going to what? Lift us up.
Yeah.
Do you see that? The whole point is, Paul is saying, what we suffer now, what we go through now, no matter what it might be, as a child of God, compared to the glory that will follow, it is nothing. It's nothing. But look, while we look not. Now, let me just stop. See, when I read this, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, here's what I was talking about when I first started. When I read this verse, if I'm honest, and I'm trying to be right now. I'm not always that, David. But if I'm honest, I have to say all too often I find myself looking at what?
Yeah.
Things that are seen.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Hmm?
Yep. Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
You're right.
So when I read this verse, it doesn't necessarily, just because I read it, give me comfort.
Exactly.
Right? You follow me so far? Yet what is Paul saying? That there is this absolute of me that I never look at things that are seen? No. But what Paul's saying is faith does not look at things which are seen.
Yeah.
Faith doesn't. If you, in this life, are enabled to look at things which are not seen, then you have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The question is not where do you look at any given moment,
yeah.
Because when you do it that way, you're going to find yourself beat down.
Yeah.
You're going to be looking at not a light affliction, which is but for a moment, but you're going to be looking at the hubs of Hades itself seem to have been poured out upon me right now.
Yeah.
And it just looks like all hell has broken loose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ain't.
Exactly.
And it ain't as bad as it could be. And if I'm not in Christ, it ain't as bad as it's going to be.
Amen.
Well, every breath for every individual on the face of this earth, on this side of glory, on this side of, I should say, eternity, as we say,
yes.
Every breath is a breath of mercy.
Yes, sir.
Every breath is.
That's right.
Because God is good to all of his creation.
Yes, sir.
No, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? They are temporary.
Amen.
You see? There, in other words, anytime I get caught up with anything visible,
yeah.
That's not faith.
Yeah.
But anytime I find myself caught up with what? The invisible, the eternal, that is faith. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Now, I could give illustrations of this, but I don't want to necessarily embarrass anybody. So I will try to embarrass myself. And if one of these illustrations hits home to you as well, do you realize I'm talking about myself, but as Snow White found out, if the shoe fits, wear it. There were a lot of things when I was younger, even in the faith, that I cared about. I thought, I got to do this.
Yeah.
If I don't get to do this, life is over.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I didn't get to go to Disney World.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, folks, if you've planned and saved money and spent money to go to Disney World and you don't get to go, that's going to hurt. You know? But you know what? It don't matter. Do you understand that? It don't matter. Well, I love doing this. You better love it lightly.
Exactly.
If it's something you see.
Right, yeah.
Because God Almighty may, if you love it too much, he may break your hands and rip it from you. And that includes even your relationships you have on this earth that are earthy. With your spouse, with your parents, with your children, with your kinfolk, with your job, with your pleasures, whatever it might be, you better hold on to them lightly. Lightly. I could use a lot more illustrations. But again, I don't want to go into a lot of detail. But I hope you get the point I'm trying to make. And it's the point that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Anytime that you're laying hold of something that's seen, it's not faith.
That's right. Exactly.
Faith lays hold of things you can't see.
Right.
You see? Now, I'll just give you another illustration. When I was younger, even after God saved me, I thought, boy, it'd be nice just to have a sharp-looking car. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
And if something, you got that car and it started breaking down, you thought the end of the world has happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I still feel that way. See, you thought I was going to say I felt different, didn't you? But you know what? I know better now.
That's it.
I know better now. I'm not saying those things never matter to me, because they do. Well, I'm still flesh. I still have Adamic flesh. The Apostle Paul, just like he told them people on that island where he was shipwrecked there, he said, we are men of like passions, just like you are.
Exactly.
We like life. We like living comfortable lives. We like things. We enjoy things, but things will burn up one day. They're all going to be gone. It is the eternal, the unseen that really matters. I know that's, I was going to say that's difficult. No, it's impossible to see those things in their proper light and to lay hold, to look to unseen things apart from a God-given faith.
Amen.
That is, you know, people just don't get it when you tell them, well, you know, that really doesn't matter because I'm going to die one day. Because most of us don't like to go around thinking about we're going to die one day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we?
Right.
Just like Scott Richardson said, practice your death every day.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll learn how to live.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He's right. That's not a quote from Scripture, but it's truth based upon Scripture.
Yeah.
Practice your death every day. Then you might learn how to live. Because what? We live not for here, but for there. That's what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
So again, faith looks at the unseen. I'm not done yet with that. We get so caught up in what we can have.
Yeah.
And I'm not against having. That's why I'll go to work every day.
Yeah.
This may not sound good to some, but I'm not in it for a career.
Yeah.
I'm in it to pay my bills. So I can exist, so I can live, you know, so I can function, so I can have clothes on my back, food in my belly, and a roof over my head.
Amen.
And the car I have is just to get back and forth to the place I've got just to sustain those things. But you know what? They will end one day,
Amen.
Whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
You and I are going to die.
Yeah.
We will be worm food. That's what we're going to be. There's not a one of us. There's not a person on the face of this earth. I would say this into this microphone, put it on that CD, and let it go out without fear of being contradicted. There's not a person on the face of this earth, apart from the rapture, that's not going to die.
Amen.
Every one of us is going to die. We're going to rot.
Yeah.
I mean, even those pharaohs, their bodies, they talk about them being mummies, they're still rotten. They ain't nothing, but even they were smart enough to take the heart and the liver and the lungs out, wasn't they?
Yeah.
Huh? Because that's what makes up the person. What's in here. Even physically, Joe, it's not what's out. Look at us.
Yeah.
We're different out here, ain't we? Look, there's not a one of us that look alike. I mean, even when you got some identical twins, but what? There's still a difference.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is? The problem's all in here. Now, what Paul is saying here is not that we never look at anything we ought not look at. And there's some things that you have to look at out of responsibility that God's put you in this life. And you and I have a responsibility to conduct ourselves honest in the sight of all men.
Amen.
Do we not?
Yes, sir.
But all of those things will end with a bang one day. Yeah. The big bang ain't what happened back then.
Yeah.
The big bang's what's going to happen out there.
Yes, sir.
There's going to be a big bang.
Yeah.
And the elements, it says, shall melt with a fervent heat.
Amen.
Those things will end. But faith doesn't look to those things. You see, I don't have a death wish. But if I die today, so be it.
Amen.
I want to live.
Yeah.
I don't want. I'm not looking, Joe. I hope I die today. That's not what I'm talking about. But if I do, Mason, so be it.
Yeah.
Why? Because I believe God.
Yeah.
And whether you're a believer or not, this is not what it's all about.
Yeah.
There is an eternity to spend.
Yeah, sure.
And spend probably ain't even the right word. You know,
exactly.
But there's an eternity to, I don't even know, maybe not even live. Maybe even that one. For God's people, lives good, but there's an eternity to die if you're not His.
Exactly.
So again, faith looks at the unseen. Let me just move forward a moment. Now, the fact that faith looks at the unseen, you remember what Thomas said, don't you? Now, remember, Thomas wasn't with the 12 at this one occasion. And they said, guess who showed up?
Yeah.
Remember? The,
yeah.
I said the 12, didn't I? It's supposed to have been the 11.
Yeah.
Judas was done a goner.
Yeah.
The 11. Now there was 10.
Yep.
Thomas wasn't there.
Yep.
And they told Thomas later when he showed up, they said, guess who showed up just previously?
Yep.
The Lord God Almighty showed up. Our Savior, Jesus. And you know what Thomas said? Unless I see. Unless I see. I won't believe. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
And that's often what we do too. Now don't we? God, you're going to have to show me. Right?
Yeah, he
knows. Now don't we? You're going to have to show me. Unless I see. What? The marks. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wonder if Thomas thought maybe the disciples hadn't gotten into some bad wine or something.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they were known to imbibe on occasion. So much so that Peter, when he preached that message on Pentecost, basically said, when they said, well, these guys are drunk, Peter said, we ain't had time to get drunk yet.
That's
what he said. He said, it's still the wee hours of the morning. We're evening drinkers. Now, you might laugh at that, but that's the facts. And I just wonder, because we all make up excuses when confronted with the truth, don't we? Thomas said, unless I see it. And then what happens?
Yeah.
Guess who shows up again?
Exactly.
And when he enters the place, and let's just turn to it. I'll try to be brief here. John, I got to give you this. Let this be the ending. John 20. That's the account of this. I hope I got the right place. Yeah, verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. He just appeared.
Yeah.
He didn't even open the door. Now, he could have,
but
he didn't, did he?
Yeah.
The doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you.
Yeah.
And what's the next words out of his mouth?
Yeah.
He spoke to who? Guess who?
Thomas.
Now, let me tell you, all things work together for good.
Yes, sir.
Even our doubts.
Yeah.
Even our unbelief.
Yeah.
God will use that to show us once again, if nothing else, at least this, how bad we are and what it takes to get us to where we ought to be.
Yes, sir.
His free sovereign grace.
Amen.
Then said he to Thomas, what did he say? All right, Thomas, if that's what it takes, stick your fingers out here.
That's right.
Isn't that what he said? Mm-hmm. If that's what it takes, Thomas, all right, here, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands and reach hither thy hand and do what? He said, stick it plumb up into my side. And be not faithless but believing. And what'd Thomas do? Well, okay, that's what'd he do? No. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
You see it?
Yeah.
Now that's glorious. Probably every one of us got a little, if you know anything about God, you got a little bit of goosebumps just thinking about that. But here's the glory. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Do you understand what a blessing it is for you to believe on this very same Christ?
Yes, sir.
That Thomas demanded physical sight of?
Yes, sir.
And Christ even gave it to him, didn't he?
Yeah.
But you know what? He don't give that to us.
Nope.
And you know what? It doesn't take that.
Exactly.
What it takes is free sovereign grace.
Amen.
You see, if you believe this Jesus, not another Jesus, not the Jesus of religion, you believe this risen Lord with holes in his hands and his feet and a spot in his side. You believe that Christ, the redeeming sacrifice of God Almighty, you are blessed of God.
Amen.
Because the world don't believe him.
Amen.
Oh, I know they believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about my Lord and my God.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Yes, sir.
That's something you can hang your hat on.
Yeah.
You know? And is that of you? You ain't even seen it.
Exactly.
You got how much proof you got?
Yeah.
You got not one speck of empirical proof.
Nope.
Do you? Not one speck of empirical proof. The only thing you got is what somebody else said about it.
Exactly.
And God Almighty caused you to believe it. Now that's blessed.
Yes,
see, that's not a place to be down. That's a place to be up. And because you're what? You're looking at what? Things not seen. Father, keep these things real in our hearts and minds because we're so prone to forget them. Lord, calls us by your gift of faith, by your fruit, calls us to be continually moved away from those things we can see and calls us to look at the things we cannot see, to trust you, to believe you in it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.